company. But I was serious. I spent a lot more than 8 hours a day at my job. If I didn't enjoy my work and my colleagues, the majority of my brief time on this planet would be unhappy. Unfortunately, while I did succeed in avoiding the mistakes my boss had made, that was easy, I made a very different set of mistakes. In an effort to create a positive, stress-free environment, I sidestepped the difficult but necessary part of being a boss, telling people clearly and directly when their work wasn't good enough. I failed to create a climate in which people who weren't getting the job done were told so in time to fix it. When I look back on this time, my mind immediately goes to a person I'll call Bob. Bob was one of those instantly likable people who make going to work a pleasure. He was a kind, funny, caring, and supportive colleague. What's more, he came to me with a stellar resume and great references. He seemed to be an A-plus hire, and I was thrilled to have him. It was just one problem. His work was terrible. He lost my confidence shortly after we hired him. He'd been working for weeks on a document to explain that Juice allowed people to create Excel spreadsheets that updated automatically. When I reviewed the document he'd been working on so diligently, I was shocked to discover that it was totally incoherent, a kind of word salad. And thinking back to when he handed it over to me, I realized then that Bob also knew his work wasn't good enough. The shame in his eye and the apology in his smile when he handed it over to me had been unmistakable. Let's stop right here for a second. If you're a manager, you know already that this was a hinge moment in the relationship between Bob and me, and a significant bellwether for success or failure of my team. Bob's work wasn't even close to good enough. We were a small company struggling to get on our feet, and we had zero bandwidth to redo his work or to pick up his slack. I knew this at the time, and yet, when I met with him, I couldn't bring myself to address the problem. I heard myself tell Bob that the work was a good start and that I'd help him finish. He smiled uncertainly and left. What happened? First, I liked Bob, and I didn't want to come down too hard on him. He had looked so nervous during the meeting when we reviewed his document that I feared he might even cry. Because everyone liked him so much, I also worried that if he did cry, everyone would think I was an abusive jerk. Second, unless his resume and references were bogus, he'd done great work in the past. Maybe he'd been distracted by something at home or was unused to our way of doing things. Whatever the reason, I convinced myself that he'd surely return to the performance level that had gotten him the job. Third, I could fix the document myself for now, and that would be faster than teaching him how to rewrite it. Let's first deal with how this affected Bob. Remember, he knew his work wasn't good, and so my false praise just messed with his mind. It allowed him to deceive himself into thinking that he could continue along the same course, which he did. By failing to confront the problem, I'd removed the incentive for him to try harder and lulled him into thinking he'd be fine. It's brutally hard to tell people when they are screwing up. You don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. That's because you're not a sadist. You don't want that person or the rest of the team to think you're a jerk. Plus, you've been told since you learned to talk, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Now all of a sudden it's your job to say it. You've got to undo a lifetime of training. Guidance is hard. To make matters worse, I kept making the same mistake over and over for 10 months. As you probably know, for every piece of subpar work you accept, for every missed deadline you let slip, you begin to feel resentment and then anger. You no longer just think the work is bad, you think the person is bad. This makes it harder to have an even-keeled conversation. You start to avoid talking to the person at all. And of course, the impact of my behavior with Bob didn't stop with him. Others on the team wondered why I accepted such poor work, but, following my lead, they too tried to cover for him. They would fix mistakes he'd made and do or redo his work, usually when they should have been sleeping.